अमृतस्य देव तारणो भूयासम् शरीरम् मे विचर्षणम् जिह्वा मे मधुमत्तमा कर्णाभ्याम् भूरि विष्णुवम् ब्रह्मण कोशोऽसि मे दया पीतः श्रुतम् मे गोपाया मे
Beloved Bhagwan, revered elders, and my dear sisters and brothers, a loving Sai Ram to one and all. As we sit through these lectures and attend the workshops and follow various panel discussions, I cannot help but recollect a story that I once came across. Long ago, there lived a king named Supriya who ruled Vardhamanapura. The king happened to contract leprosy, and in spite of the royal doctor's best efforts, the king could not be cured. Having exhausted all the means at his disposal, the king then turned to the renowned sage Vaishampayana. Vaishampayana arranged for a homa at the palace. Every day, a ritualistic sacrifice would be performed and the king would receive the benediction in the form of sacred rice and holy water. This went on for several weeks. The king had expected instant results, but upon seeing this procedure go on day after day with no apparent outcome, he asked the sage to shift the venue to his hermitage and send only the prasadam to the palace. From then on, every day, one of Vaishampayana's disciples would do the daily homa and carry the prasadam to the palace. A year thus passed, but the king still saw no signs of a cure. Finally, the day arrived when Vaishampayana nominated his disciple Yajnavalkya to carry out the ritual for the day. Yajnavalkya was no ordinary disciple. He was an expert in portions of the Yajur and the Atharvana Vedas. He austerely performed the homa and proceeded to the palace to bless the king. The king, by this point of time, had become impatient as no benefit seemed to come out of this whole exercise and ignored Yajnavalkya's arrival at the palace. Noticing this impertinence, Yajnavalkya declared that he will ask the king only thrice, and if the king still does not accept the prasadam, he would leave. The king, misled by the ordinary outward appearance of this young ascetic, ridiculed the efficacy of this whole procedure and paid no heed to his words. Yajnavalkya, seeing this arrogance, went straight to the king's horse stables, dutifully recited the mantra, and sprinkled the sacred akshatas and the holy water on the dead wooden logs there, and returned to the hermitage. As soon as he did this, the dry and moth-infested pillars of the stable transformed into beautiful trees, fragrant flowers, and ripe fruits emanated from them. A repentant and dumbstruck king only observed this as he had wasted a nectarine opportunity. Modern society too is plagued by several evils. In Bhagwan's own words, Paschatya Vidyala Prabhava Madiyemo Samskruta Maduganti Sannagille. It is the impact of the Western education that our culture has touched its lowest point today. Paschatya Vidyala Pramukhya Tadiyemo Parinaya Dharmamulu Vamulaye. The sacred vows of marriage are being neglected today. Paschatya Vidyala Prabhava Madiyemo Arya Dharmamulella Aripoye. The age-old traditions of Bharat are on a decline today. Paschatya Vidyala Pramukhya Tadiyemo Vesha Bhasha Landu Mozu Heche. The infatuation with external appearance and fancy accents is on the rise today. Talli Bhashanu Matlada Tappu Doche. Speaking in one's own mother tongue is considered demeaning today. Sangha Maryada Patimpa Janku Putte. There is a lot of hesitation to follow the established societal norms today. Dharma Mannadi Bodhimpa Tappai Poye. To impart dharma is considered a folly today. Ittu Lainadi Bharata Jati Nedu. Such is the plight of Bharatiyas today. The current generation, which is the nation's tomorrow, are disconnected with our own culture. With a moral compass so confused, how can we young men and women achieve the great things that are worthy of the Bharatiya youth? And in these turbulent times, who would shoulder the responsibility of exposing the youth to our wonderful culture and inspiring them a national character? It is for this reason that Bhagwan, like the sage of the story, has been showering on us the prasadam of his divine knowledge untiringly for several decades. Be it his own divine discourses or the eminent speakers that he handpicks to address various fora like the summer course. And this evening too, Bhagwan, in his immense love and compassion, has chosen yet another eminent instrument to enlighten us on this very theme. The speaker for this evening session is Sri Sanjay Sahani, Associate Professor, Department of Management and Commerce, Brindavan Campus. Sri Sanjay Sahni is an alumnus of the Sri Satya Sai Institute of Higher Learning, belonging to the first batch of the five-year integrated commerce program from 1982 to 87. He won the gold medals for academic excellence in both BCom and MCom programs. Subsequently, Bhagwan blessed him to join as a faculty member of the Department of Commerce. Sri Sahni was then blessed to be the warden of the senior students hostel at Prashanthi Nilayam. In 1993, he moved to the Brindavan campus to teach at the Department of Commerce there. In 2002, Swami blessed him to assume further responsibilities as the director of the Brindavan campus, a position he holds till date. Sri Sanjay Sahni is a brilliant, inspiring teacher and an expert orator. He has traveled across the world and delivered several talks about Bhagwan and his message. Today, he will be addressing us on the topic, Essence of Bharatiya Culture. His talk will be followed by Bhajan and Mangala Arati. Now I invite Sri Sanjay Sahni to take over. Sri Sanjay Sahni.
I offer my loving obeisances at the lotus feet of our beloved Bhagwan. Revered elders, brothers and sisters, dear students, we are into the second day of the summer course in Indian culture and spirituality here at Prashanthi Nilayam. This is an occasion for all students and staff of Bhagwan's educational institutions to gather at Bhagwan's lotus feet and to be recipients of his love and his grace. The summer course brings to us many memories. I'll share a couple of them. My first darshan of Bhagwan was in the year 1978. I was a student of the 8th standard at that time. And we were on a South India tour during the vacations, which culminated in Bangalore in the month of May. And the idea was that we would take that opportunity to visit Brindavan and have Bhagwan's darshan. It so happened that our visit there also coincided with the summer course of the year 1978. And one very vivid memory that I recall from that visit was something like this. Swami would come every evening to the college auditorium. He would address all the students and teachers. And of course, devotees also had a chance, but they would be outside the hall. So we were sitting outside the college auditorium. And you know, Brindavan is renowned for summer showers for two reasons. One, because Swami would give his discourses. And second, we used to have rains in Brindavan in the month of May. So one evening when we were all seated outside, and the students were inside, it started raining. And in no time, it became a downpour, and so everybody got up. And because Bhagwan was in the auditorium, we didn't want to go away, so instinctively, people moved towards the wall to protect themselves from the rain. And as we came near the wall, we started peeping through the window, and we had Bhagwan's darshan. He was on the stage giving his discourse. So just as we saw him, he also saw us. And then something unexpected happened. He stopped in the middle of his discourse, and we didn't know why. The next thing we found was that the side gate opened, a volunteer came rushing out, and he said, "Bhagwan is calling you all inside." From nowhere, we were catapulted right into the space which is between the first row of chairs where dignitaries were seated and the stage where Bhagwan was delivering his discourse. That memory remains evergreen in my mind and reflects how for Bhagwan, not only those who were seated in the hall were near and dear to him, even those who were not in the hall and were actually in distress, even they were equally near and dear to him. That was the catholicity of Bhagwan's love. 1 year ago, last year, we were arriving for the summer course here in Prashanthalim. We were in the bus, and our bus arrived a little later than the evening aarti. So students were streaming out of the mandir, and in each student's hand I found a mango. Seeing the mango, I thought to myself, if only we had come 10 minutes earlier, we would have also got the mango prasadam. Because the mango prasadam was very special for us. First, the first mango of the season we would get from Swami's hands. Second, every summer course, lunch and dinner, we would get mango. So mango, Swami, summer course and us had a very intimate connection. So seeing the mango, I was thinking to myself, if only 10 minutes earlier I had come, we could have got the mango prasada. So I reached my room, I kept my luggage there. I came to the mandir, took namaskar, and then went to the North Indian canteen to have dinner. So I took whatever items I wanted, and then went to take buttermilk, which is usually kept on a separate table. And to my utter amazement, I found there was no buttermilk that day. Instead of buttermilk, there was mango juice. Ever since North Indian canteen started operations in Prashanthalim, I've been having food there. Never, ever, even once in their menu, we had mango juice. On that evening, there was mango juice. I thought Bhagwan telling me, see, you were thinking of mango. I've kept mango juice for you. Don't miss it. That is the love of Bhagwan that we have seen, we have experienced. And therefore, summer course, as I said, brings to our mind very fond memories. The subject I thought I will speak on this evening is the essence of Bharatiya culture. And to begin with, I thought I'll share some thoughts on who is a Bharatiya and what it is to be a Bharatiya. A reference to how Bhagwan has interpreted this name was made in the morning. Bharat is made up of two words, Bha and Rati. Bha stands for Bhagavan. And Rati means one who is in love with something. So Bharat is a land of people who are in love with God. And therefore in that sense, Bharat is not a geographic entity. Bharat is a feeling of God-centeredness in life. When we were students, I used to often hear Bhagwan pun on many words. And one word which he would pun on was the word communist. If you look at the history of 20th century of the world, one of the biggest concerns of leaders in different parts of the world was the wave of communism that was sweeping country after country. And in such a scenario, when people would express their concern about communists to Bhagwan, Swami said, "Communist, come you next," he would say. And I would always wonder, what do you mean, come you next? For us, USSR was a country which was spreading its influence all over. And Swami said, communist means, come you next. Till one day, out of the blue, and I'm sure that it was divine will, this country broke up. And for the first time, the people of Russia were able to spontaneously express their feelings for God. I still recall it was a Shivratri evening. Bhagwan was seated here. We were sitting next to him. And in the course of his talk, he said, "At this juncture, how many devotees have come from Russia for my darshan here? Even now they are all seated here. And the moment, there are thousands seated here. But Swami selected this group and in response, spontaneously, all the devotees from Russia, both gent side and lady side, took their kerchiefs and started waving at Swami. It was such a wonderful sight. The chandelier light is on and with whatever, all multicolored kerchiefs, they were waving at Bhagwan. And then I realized what Swami meant. Communist, come you next. In a materialistic world, we have still people who say, does God exist? The greatest proof that God does exist is the avatar. The avatar comes not for pradarshan, but for nidarshan. He comes not to exhibit. There is nothing which he cannot do. The whole cosmos runs according to his will. Whatever we are, whether we accept him or not, whatever we are, whatever we do, is because of that will of God. I remember one of our professors once shared this with all of us in Trai Vrindavan, in the presence of Bhagwan. Swami had called some students for an interview and he picked up one student and he said, "Stand up." So he stood up. "Raise your right hand." So he raised his right hand. "Put it down." "Raise your left hand." He raised his left hand. "Put it down." "Raise both your hands." He raised both his hands. "Put it down. Now raise your right hand." When the final instruction was given, "Raise your right hand," this boy who was moving his hands very, very freely says that he could not move his hand 1 millimeter. If God decides that this individual should become immobile, this instant, this voice will come to a halt. And yet, running this whole creation, he who has created the sun and the moon, he created you and me, yet he has no expectation whatsoever that man should love him. I remember we were four of us at his lotus feet. It was prior to Dasara. And Bhagwan was asking each one of us, what are you going to speak during the Dasara? And there was this brother of mine. He said, Swami, I would like to speak that we should express our gratitude to you. The moment the boy expressed that sentiment, Swami said, that is not for me to tell you whether you should do it or not. It is not for me. If you want, you can do it. If you don't want, you need not express your gratitude as well. So look at divinity. Who bestows all powers on us, who showers his grace on us, yet he does not expect anything from any one of us. It is our fortune and the fortune of a Bharatiya that he is brought up in an environment where God is the center of everything. And he learns from a young age to love God. I am reminded of this episode which I shared in this very hall more than two decades ago. It was Ram Navami festival which was nearing and I was sitting at Bhagwan's lotus feet. So he told me, this Ram Navami you must speak. We were all alone. So I took that opportunity to ask Bhagwan, Swami, what you want me to speak? So he thought for a few seconds, he said, speak about the importance of darshan. So I racked and ransacked all Sai literature. What has Swami spoken about darshan? And I came across this beautiful lines of his, darshanam papanashanam, sparshanam karma vimochanam, sambhashanam sankatanashanam. So these three lines were the content of my talk that evening. So in the course of explaining the significance of darshan, I took up this Chinnakatha of Swami from the Ramayana. Surpanakha has been humiliated by Lakshmana. She goes and complains to Kara and Dushana. They come in 14,000 strength and all of them are decimated. So finally she goes to Ravana's court and complains, look brother, this is what Rama and Lakshmana have done to me. Her nose is bleeding, her ears are cut. Ravana says, sister, don't worry, I am going to avenge the insult which has been meted out to my sister. But he said, I have a curiosity, you must redress my curiosity. He says, how is it that they could do this to you? You know, to cut the nose, to cut both the ears, at least three shots would have been required. You are a powerful demoness in your own right. How come they could do this to you and you didn't react? You could have made yourself invisible. So many things could have been done by you. How come you did not react to them? So Surpanakha, this is what she tells Ravana. You have not seen Sri Rama. The most enchanting form that you can ever see with your eyes, that is Sri Rama. When I was beholding the beautiful form of Sri Rama, I lost body consciousness. I had no sense of my own body. When my body was in that condition, they did all this to me. Imagine, in Treta Yuga, this was what the demons felt about the Lord when he incarnated. In Kali Yuga, if people were seeing the Lord and yet felt that nothing they felt, nothing they experienced, are we to assume that the humans in Kali Yuga have degraded below the level of the demons of Treta Yuga. This is a thought which we need to ponder about. When Jesus resurrected from the cross, he gave darshan to a few disciples. Thomas was not there. So Thomas says, I don't believe that you have seen Lord Jesus. A few days later, Jesus manifested in the presence of Thomas with some other brother disciples. Even in that situation, Thomas asks Jesus, Master, will you permit me to come and touch your wounds? He wanted to see, the wounds were there showing on Jesus' body. He wanted to touch his wounds and see whether it was real or it was a mirage. And the master said, you are permitted, Thomas. You can do what you like. So Thomas comes close and puts his fingers on the wounds which had been made on his flesh by the spears of the soldiers. And he found that Jesus was in flesh and blood. And then Thomas made that statement, Master, I believe, Master, I believe. And this is what Jesus told Thomas, Thomas, blessed are you who have seen and believed. But even more blessed are those who have not seen and yet believed. The chance when Avatar walks on earth is an opportunity for every soul which is there on earth to come to the lotus feet, to see the Lord, to test him in whichever way he wants to test his concept of God, whether it is being in compliance with the avatar of the age. But once we accept him, then to doubt is not the way of the path of love. So when we say Bharatiyas are those who love God, their love for God is always constant. Not dependent on what God can do for me or did not do for me. But I also would like to stress, the avatar comes to prove to us not only that God is there, but he has always been there. It's not that he was at one point of time there, today he is not there, tomorrow again he will be there. You can never talk about divinity in those terms. God is, God was, God will forever be. This is the belief of the Bharatiyas. When we live in that conviction, he gives you that experience as well. And this is our experience when we are participating in the divine mission. 3 days ago, we were in Vrindavan, and there was this student in my wing who was very sick. He had a stomach infection. He was not able to drink any liquid, and even whatever medicine the doctor had given was coming out. So that evening, as I was passing the room, there's a roommate of his, he said, sir, this boy wants to come for bhajan today. He was not able to even stand. I said, I'm coming back in 2 minutes. You do security duty till I come. So after a few minutes, I went to the room and he was on his toes. And he said, sir, I want to attend the bhajan. So I told his room boys, open all the windows. His room was next to the prayer hall, which is also doubling up as our dining hall. I told him, all the windows are open. When they sing bhajans in the dining hall, you can also hear the bhajan. But you are not going to go to the bhajan hall and strain yourself like this. So saying this, I put one student next to him and said, you give him company. And so we went for the bhajans. The moment bhajan was over and I came out, so one student comes running. He said, sir, Vibhuti has manifested in our room. So I went up and this is what we saw. Not permitted to enter the dining hall where the bhajan was going on. This boy took a ordinary plastic chair, kept it in the room and thinking that Swami's feet should not touch the floor, it will be too cold. So he took a sitting mat and put the sitting mat in front of Swami's chair and took an accordion, and he and the other boy were singing bhajan to their heart's glory. In the middle of the bhajan, suddenly, to their utter amazement, they found Vibhuti right in front of their eyes, manifesting on the chair and on the sitting mat. When you live with the feeling that God is always there with you, always there with you, you know, He has got amazing ways to connect with us. I've shared with many groups of students. One of the teachers said, you must share it in Kulwant Hall also, so I will share it in this audience as well. It was 23rd of November. We were seated there where the teachers normally sit. And those of us who were here last November, 23rd, you know what jam-packed the Kulwant Hall was. So sitting there, I thought to myself, Swami, we have come here for your birthday, but where is our birthday boy? Birthday boy is not to be seen. A flash of a thought, and I forgot about it. The governor of Karnataka spoke to us, and I was highly enthused by the thoughts he shared. We had a meeting in the college after we were to finish here, and I was particular that I should do namaskar because it's Swami's birthday and then only I should go for the meeting. So a lot of dignitaries were there. It took quite a bit of time. It was 11 o'clock. And then I took namaskar and I was walking. So as I was walking out, I had Swami's prasadam in my hand, the birthday prasadam. So I thought to myself, usually I have been avoiding sweets of late, so I thought I must give it to somebody. So I found the student of ours and I put it in his hand. Hey, take this prasadam. So I went off to the meeting, and it was a very busy day. Afternoon also we had some function in the college, and then in the night I met the student. He said, sir, I want to tell you something. And then he told his part of the story. So when I gave him the prasadam, if you recall, it was Motichur Laddu, which was the prasadam that day. And this boy did not tell me, could not tell me that he loves sweets, but he does not like that sweet. So he was wondering what to do with that sweet, and lot of students had distributed prasadam. So there is this gentleman who comes and says, can you get me prasadam? I did not get prasadam. Thinking that this boy will go inside, he knows where the prasadam is kept, he will get for him. Already this boy is having the prasadam in his hand, and he took that prasadam and put it in the palms of that gentleman. The next thing that he found, the man smiled. Now it is that pillar. Imagine the scene. There is a pillar and there is this man and there is this boy. And they are conversing with each other, and he puts that laddu in his hand and the man smiled. And the next thing that happens, right in front of his eyes, the man dematerialized into thin air. Dematerialized into thin air. So evening when that boy met me, he said, he was fear stricken. He said, sir, I have seen a ghost today. This was the mental state in which he was. And I said, my dear, in the whole of Prashanti Nilayam, there is only one person who has the capacity and the willingness to play such pranks with us. His name is Bhagavan Sri Sathya Sai Baba. The moment I told him, from fear his mood changed to one of ecstasy, excitement, sadness, sorrow. He said, sir, Swami can't do like this. If he comes in a form like that, how will I recognize him? I had so many questions to ask him. I couldn't ask him anything. I said, you cannot choose how Swami is going to bless you. You can't put terms and conditions on Bhagwan. He has blessed you. Be happy. That evening when I went to the room and I was contemplating on what has happened to this boy, and then it struck me, 23rd morning, sitting there, I'm thinking to myself, Swami, today is your birthday. Where is our birthday boy? And this is the feeling which I got, as if Swami is telling, where is the birthday boy? Next to you. You gave your laddu to him, I came and took the laddu from you. You know, that is the Swami that we know and we experience. So my dear students, if there is one thing which I like to leave with you before you leave the precincts of Prashantvim for your respective campuses, ask yourself whether you are a Bharatiya. To be a Bharatiya is to fall in love with God and to lead a life which is God-centric. Having explained that, let me come to the next part of my talk, which is, what is the essence of Bharatiya culture? Many people can define it in various ways, but what is most important is, how did Bhagwan define the essence of Bharatiya culture? And this is what he told us one day. He said, the essence of Bharatiya culture is to experience and to visualize unity in diversity. That is the quintessence of Bharatiya culture. If you look at the divine family of Lord Shiva, it's a family of contrasts, a family of contradictions. Mother Parvati's Vahana is the lion, which is the arch enemy of Shiva's Vahana, which is Nandi the bull. Ganesha's Vahana is rat, which is the arch enemy of the serpent, which is the necklace on Shiva's neck. The Vahana of Subramanya is the peacock, which is the arch enemy of the serpent. On Shiva's matted hair, we have Mother Ganges, and in the center of his brow, we have Agni. It's a family of total contrasts. And yet, it is a family which is a happy family, a peaceful family, a harmonious family. What is the secret? Because they all have that experience that this is divine family. The moment you identify yourself with divinity, there is no division. It is only unity. I recall in the early 90s, the whole country was shaken up by a terrible scam hitting the financial markets. Every day headlines would be screaming, this is what has happened, and nobody could make sense of it. So I still recall how, under the inspiration of one of our professors here in the Commerce Department, the undergraduate students came up with a program on trying to demystify the scam. And like every student program, they wanted to invite Swami also. I mean, that was something very beautiful in the relationship between students and Swami. That never they felt that Swami is different and we are different. Anything they do, they want Swami to be part of it. So they came to Mandir and they invited Swami. They were putting up on a Thursday moral class in the college. Swami didn't come that day. But those of us who witnessed it, especially our elders, the authorities of the university, one of them went and told Swami that evening, Swami, if MBA students had put up this program, it was understandable that final year BCom students have put up a program of this nature. It is really amazing. The moment he said that, Swami said, is it like that? Then I also want to see the program. And so, though all of us have seen the program, the coming Sunday, a special program was organized in the college auditorium. The same program, but now, because it's a Sunday, our high school students also were participating. And of course, Swami is our chief guest. So the presentation was done once again. And after the presentation was over, in the evening, the boys were seated here. And Swami came up to them and said, "I don't want you all to even think of that man. I don't want you all to even think of that man." Now these boys, when they went back, they thought that Swami didn't like their program and they were facing another kind of pressure. The senior students, the postgraduate students were pressurizing them. "Your presentation was very beautiful. Please give us all the material. We also want it." And the school students, they also liked their presentation. They also were pressurizing. "Please give us the material. We want to have it as a personal copy, etc." And here Swami has told them, "I don't want you to think of that man." So one day, a few days later, one of the boys happened to get a chance to get a private audience with Bhagwan. And in the interview room, this boy took courage and said, "Swami, you did not like our program that day, isn't it?" And Swami said, "It's not like that, Bangaru. All 28 of you all in the class unitedly worked for the program and made that presentation. That unity which you exhibited, it is that unity which has brought me here to see your program." Everybody was wondering, how come Lord of the Universe, Swami, is interested in a financial market scam? Till Swami revealed his interest was not the program, his interest was the students who had worked with so much of unity. So unity is divinity. Having said that, I must also share what Swami says about, see, if you have the Lord, but if you don't follow the Lord, you don't really love the Lord. To love the Lord is to love His way of life and to love the path which He came to show. And the path which He came to show was the path of dharma. Every avatar comes, dharma samsthapanarthaya sambhavami yuge yuge. And what is the dharma of man? What is the dharma of fire? If fire were not to burn, it cannot be fire. If salt were not saltish, it cannot be salt. If sugar were to lose its sweetness, it cannot be sugar. It is their dharma. So in the same way, what is it which is unique to man, which if he complies with and then alone he is man, otherwise he is not a human being. Swami says, the dharma of man is to unite his thought, his word and deed. Trikarana Shuddhi is the dharma of man. If you have that Trikarana Shuddhi, you are on the path of dharma. If you are not having that Trikarana Shuddhi, you have deviated from the path of dharma. And that is something which every avatar demonstrates in his life. You take, for example, Sri Rama. Sri Rama was about to be married and the Purohit is chanting so many mantras, and there comes this particular stage in the marriage proceedings where Rama is being asked to repeat after the Purohit, dharme cha, arthe cha, kame cha, you know, in all these three things we shall be together. This is the vow which you have to take. At that critical juncture, Sri Rama went silent. The Purohit requesting, "My dear, this is part of the marriage proceedings. You have to chant this." Rama is not willing to chant. And Swami explained, you know why he did not chant? He knew that one day, being the prince of the land, he may become the king. And when he becomes the king, if ever there is going to be a conflict of interest between his duty as a king and his duty towards his wife, his duty toward as a king will supersede his duty towards his wife. And therefore, anticipating a situation probabilistic situation, he did not take that oath. Of course, the Purohit will not stop the proceedings because he will not get the Dakshina. So he said, okay, next item. And that's how the marriage was completed. But the point which Swami made, you know, finally, when to uphold the name of the king of the land, he had to send Sita to the forest. He had already anticipated that situation at the time of marriage and refused to take the word. And that is why we say Rama was a man of one word. And that kind of integrity, you know, we saw in Bhagavan himself. I remember once the Italian Prime Minister came to Prashantlila. It was Bhagavan's 60th birthday and he landed in Prashant Puttaparthi in the stadium here in his helicopter even before he had gone to Delhi to meet the Prime Minister. He was visiting the Prime Minister after his visit to Puttaparthi, and Swami sent all the students and asked them to stand in rows in the stadium, and we all, as his convoy was passing, we were asked to fold our hands and do namaskar to him, welcoming him to Prashantlila. So in the private audience which he got with Bhagwan, this is first hand we have heard from him, on his 60th birthday, the Prime Minister of Italy has brought 60 gold coins to offer to Bhagwan. 60 gold coins. Swami asked, of course he was not at all interested in all this, he asked him a simple question: have you declared it to the government? In those days, gold control laws were very, very stringent. Swami asked, have you declared it to the government? And this gentleman said, because he has diplomatic immunity, he is not checked for all this, he said, no Swami, I have not. If you have not declared it to the government, how do you expect me to receive it? Imagine Swami telling the head of a state. That Prime Minister started shedding tears. He said, Swami, the first time in my life anybody has taught me like this. And then, you know, Swami didn't leave it at that. He said, when you go to Delhi, tell Rajiv Gandhi also what I have told you. You know, one stone, two shots, two targets. When he came out, there was a journalist waiting outside. He said, Prime Minister sir, you had your first audience with Sri Sathya Sai Baba. How do you feel? What is your experience? And this is what the Hindu reported the next day. It said, in life, one never stops learning. This is what Prime Minister of Italy told about his first interaction with Bhagwan. So, you know, when we talk of the essence of Bharatiya culture, Swami lived that and he wanted that. You know, today morning, a reference was made, why we should sing bhajans, three things should come together. Bhava, Raga, Tala. As I was hearing that, I realized, you see, they are also the three letters of our name of our nation. Bharat, Bha, Ra, Ta. Bhavam, there should be bhavam, thought. Raga, you know, some people think, we sit in a bhajan, we will quietly sit in a corner and therefore it's enough if we don't chant the bhajan. Sing the bhajan. Swami used to sit in Sai Ramesh Hall and his favorite pastime was to see which student is singing bhajan and which student is not. That was his favorite pastime. And one day in three session, he called three students. By name he called them, come here. And he told everybody, these students sing bhajans nicely, he said. And from that day onwards, the warden permitted them every day to sit near the jhula. Special incentive. So, you know, warden, he didn't tell others, see, you all are not singing bhajans properly. He told these students sing bhajans properly. So bhava, there should be feeling. You should utter it with your lips, raga, and clap your hands, tala. When all three come together, then Bhagwan is pleased. So this unification of thought, word and deed is in every aspect of life. Even a simple thing like bhajan also, we need to practice it. So the essence of Bharatiya culture, as Swami has taught all of us, is to develop that kind of unity. And that kind of unity, you need an incentive to practice that. The incentive is the love for God. Why should I do it? Because Swami wanted us to do. The simplest mantra for any student or a Sai devotee is this: will Swami like this or not? Will Swami approve of this or not? If we make that the guiding light of our life, our lives will certainly be redeemed. So with these few words, I would like to take leave. It is a wonderful opportunity to gather at Bhagwan's lotus feet, to listen to our elders, to listen to our youngsters. The vibrancy that even our young scholars and teachers exhibit is something very heartwarming to observe. But one thing which is most delightful is to sit at his lotus feet and to enjoy the Sai Sannidhyam. Years ago, and maybe I'll close with this, in a message to the students' spiritual study circle that we used to have at Prashantilayam, we were praying, the coordinators prayed to Bhagwan, Swami, please give us a message. We are starting this study circle for the new academic year. Swami said, for my students, the two eyes are, number one, Swami. Two, the spiritual atmosphere that pervades this place. Those who understand this are like people with good eyesight. Wherever they go in the world, they will shine. Those who don't understand this are blind. Seshasai means one who rests on Shesha the serpent. Satyasai means one who rests on Satya. Those who live their lives without understanding Satya are blind. So I leave you with this parting message of Bhagwan to ponder over and to see what sense we can make for our own daily life. Jai Sai Ram.
Gajanana, 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 Thank you. Narayana
Karuna Karuna
Maheshwara Sai Narayana.
Krishna Rama Govinda Gokula Nandana Gopala. Krishna Rama Govinda Gokula Nandana Gopala.
Narayana Narayana. जय बोलो भगवान श्री सत्य साई।